how does God expect you to respond to your conversion? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you need to kill the old man, and you need to live as a new man. That's what conversion is. We've looked at that in the previous catechism questions. The new man shows his new life by doing good works. God expects nothing less. And that's what you hear about from Heidelberg question and answer 91. But the natural question arises, what are good works? How can I know what good works are? What is the standard for determining good works? And these are important questions because there's a wide variety of understanding what good works are. Some people believe that helping the old and the sick people to die by euthanasia, that is a good work. Others believe that the government sharing wealth equally among all members of society is a good work. Many believe that public education is good because it gives members of society free education, and that's really good for poor people. Other people believe that the killing of infidels, we just read about some of them there, we find in Kenya, the Boko Haram people. They believe that killing infidels is good works that takes them to paradise, and they'll be rewarded by God for that. There are even people in the church who believe that democracy is good. That's a good work. Are these things really good? How do we know what is good? Let God speak to you on how to know and do really good works. Our headings are 4. Good works done from faith in Christ, good works done according to the law of Jesus, good works done for the glory of Jesus, and then good works, some limitations. And our goals are that you will understand what truly good works are in order that you may do them to please the one who did the greatest good work for you, saving you through his Son. So question and answer 91. Question, what do we do that is good together? Only that which arises out of true faith, conforms to God's law, and is done for his glory, and not that which is based on what we think is right or on established human tradition. So good works done from faith in Jesus Christ. A good work is only a good work if it were done from faith in Jesus Christ. True faith in Jesus Christ, the one who is the vine. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, and we say together, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if you do not have a new heart from God, based on knowledge of what Christ has done, then you can't do good works. Your soul must always be resting and drawing from Jesus Christ, that vine, in order to do good works. John chapter 15, verse 5, together. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So the question to you, can a Hindu do good work? Can a Muslim do work? Can an atheist do good work? And you can add all others to that list who are not believers, and you will come back with the same answer. Absolutely no. Jesus not only stated positively, but he said, without me, you can do nothing. It means nothing good. Why is it sinful if your action is not from faith? Can one not simply do a good deed by himself? Whatever you do, even the smallest thing, must be done from the full persuasion and conviction that it is the right thing to do in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Now, together, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. See, now it expands. It's not just, oh, you must do it from faith. What about those who do good works, or what appears to be good works? What about those who give money to the poor? What about those who take care of their parents and they're not believers? Bible calls it sin. Sin. Only the Christian can do good works. By the way, you see why you need to evangelize. Because nothing, even though it appears to be that way, can be considered a good work. Because it's not done. Because the heart is convinced that that's the right thing to do. Only the Christian can be convinced that way. And even then, imperfectly. You cannot please God if your motive is imperfect. God wants a pure heart for every action. So even the most splendid thing that you would ever do, maybe you run into a building and save someone's life, if you don't do it because you're a Christian, it's not a good work. Maybe you babysat someone's kids, but if you do it simply because you want them to like you, that's not a good work. Maybe, you know, the big thing these days, making your home eco-friendly. You want everything to be good for the environment. And maybe you do a good job of it. But if you don't do it to please Jesus, it's not a good work. It's not a good work because it was not done from faith. And you must not have any mental reservations about what you do. Like Roman Catholic teachings teaches that you can have mental reservations. In other words, you can say you're doing it, but I didn't mean to do it. Like your fingers crossed behind your back, right? Like the kids do. God forbids that. But then you say, well, what about those people who say, I let my conscience be my guide? This is another one that I've talked about in the first service where people say, this is, I'm a Christian. I believe I should let my conscience be my guide. That's not from the Bible. And in fact, God forbids that you do that. Why? Because your conscience was damaged by the fall and is no longer pure. So it must not be the standard by which you judge things or you do things. Because my conscience, I'm good at this. Well, a lot of people who do things that are wrong, and but they feel that it is the right thing. I've touched on some of them before. The man who goes up and kills himself and kills all the people in the process, that homicide bomber, he thinks he's doing good work. He's convinced of that in his mind. At the same time, you must never violate your Christian conscience. Though your conscience is a lower standard, and though it is tarnished by sin, you must never do something that your conscience convicts you is sin. Let me give you some examples. If you bought food on the Sabbath for someone who is starving, and it's not wrong to do that, but if your heart thinks it is wrong and you do it, and by the way, this is the hardest part of the sermon. You get this, it's smooth sailing. But if your conscience says, I'm doing this, but this is wrong, then that is a sin to you. Apostle Paul pointed out that if you believe, and that's the passage from Romans, if you believe it is wrong to eat meat sacrificed to idols, and that meat might be good to eat because their idols are really nothing, but if you think it isn't good and you still eat it, that is a sin to you. R.C. Sproul, a modern theologian, said it this way. He gave a good example to make this point. He said, if a person is taught and comes to believe that wearing lipstick is a sin, it isn't, But if you believe that wearing lipstick is sin, and then you wear that lipstick, you're sinning. And here's the explanation. The sin resides not in the lipstick or the buying of food on the Sabbath for the poor, but in the intent to act against what you believe to be the command of God. If you believe that's the command of God, you violate that, then it becomes sin to you. An act that might not otherwise be sinful. Therefore, you must challenge yourself. Examine your actions in light of what is truth. And the way to fix this problem, of course, is to know the truth so you don't make bad conclusions. You're not going to walk around seeing someone wear lipstick or buying food on the Sabbath for the poor and then you make judgments about them. You'll be wiser in your decisions. Or what about if others recognize your work to be good? Isn't it then a good work? I mean, people are celebrated. The government honors people. By the way, a government of Canada honored Manny Morgenthaler, who killed more than 25,000 babies. And he was honored for doing good work for Canadians. You see why, if other people say a work is good, it doesn't make it good. Only God determines what is good. God doesn't call your work good if you lack faith in Jesus. Others might. Consider a rebuke that God gave to those who were attempting good works without faith in him. Look at Isaiah now in your notes, chapter 29, verse 13. Together, therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men. Now it continues, of course, but the point was the people were there, they were drawing near to God with their mouths. They had good talk, but their hearts didn't have faith in Christ. They did not really believe. Sometimes it's just tradition. I mean, think of how many people celebrated Thanksgiving this past week who don't even believe in God. This was a celebration of the God of heaven and earth, the God of the Bible, Jehovah God. But they say, oh, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. How do you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and you don't know the God to whom you're giving thanks? God knows the heart, though. So make sure it is working well to please him. Look at the example of the Lord Jesus now, Matthew chapter 15, verse 17, together. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. When the faith is lacking, that's the natural outcome. But when the heart is clean, good works will come out of it. You know, the outward acts might look exactly the same as others, but one might be considered good and one might not be considered good. So think about this. There are a lot of people who help the victims of Hurricane Harvey, or victims in the Las Vegas shooting, or the California wildfires that killed a lot of people in recent days. And some people would do exactly the same thing, and one would be considered good work, and one would be considered a sinful work. The one that is considered a good work is the one who had faith in Jesus Christ. So, for good work to be good, it has to start with faith in Jesus Christ. Next, good works must be done according to the law of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew now, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Together, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. So those who mutilate their bodies to try and change their gender aren't doing a good deed, regardless of what the premier says or what the doctor says. Those who marry out of the faith because they say, we made a very good faith effort to find a Christian spouse but couldn't, so we're marrying that person who's out of the faith. That's not a good deed. Those who think they're wise by not spanking their children for disobedience aren't doing good deeds. Those who believe they must adjust their worship so that it's more appealing to young people and maybe opening it up for female leadership aren't doing good deeds. That might be popular. That's what most churches do today. But it's not a good deed, because it must be done according to the law of Jesus Christ. In other words, the directions he's given. Those who believe the government should be Robin Hood and steal from the rich and give it to the needy aren't doing good works, good deeds. Those who choose to do homework on Sundays so they will get better grades aren't doing good deeds. You notice there's always that attachment to, this could be good. If you work really hard on Sunday doing homework, maybe I'll get a better grade in my exam on Monday. Or Robin Hood, who wants to rob the rich and give to the poor because they need things as well. There's that appeal that it looks good, but it's not good. It's theft. Or in the case of doing homework, it's a misuse of the Lord's day. And if it's not a good deed, it's a bad deed. Good intentions are not enough. Well, I will get a better grade. I can get a scholarship. And if I get a scholarship, I can save my parents money. Therefore, I'm doing my parents a favor. I'm honoring them by breaking the Sabbath. No, you're not. That's rationalizing. God's laws are clear. But more important, good works must be done according to the spirit, not the letter of the law of Christ. And that's what you see in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. I started from Matthew chapter 5 there, but you go on, you will see that there was formalism and literalism and judgmentalism, and the Lord warned against the misuse of his law. When the Bible says, you shall not murder, the Jew says, well, the leader said, well, I didn't murder anyone. I just paid somebody else to murder them. Well, God said, you didn't obey the intention of the law. And for you to do good work, you must do it according to God's law and the intention or the spirit of the law. Furthermore, you may not even break the smallest, seemingly insignificant law, or your good work would not be considered good. You know, someone will say, it was just a little white lie, or just a small thing. It's just cheating a little bit here. It's no big deal. Well, God requires that you obey all of his law, and that you, even the smallest ones, and that you obey the intention of the law, and the law that he has revealed in his word. Third, good works must be done for the glory of Jesus Christ. Good works are only considered good if they're done for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let's read a few passages first. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Together, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Together, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. 1 Peter 2:12. Together, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Three times, and there are many more, the Lord reminds us that our good works are to bring praise to Jesus. That really gets to us, doesn't it? Because the natural inclination is to do good works so people will think nice things about us. We're coming into that Christmas season, and people will start shopping. Some probably have started already. And what is the biggest thing you want people to say? Oh, you're so nice. Look at what you bought for me. And there's nothing wrong in people being thankful to you for what God has enabled you to do. But ultimately, you have to think, how is this good for the glory of Jesus Christ? It actually changes how you might buy a gift. Because you might, if you want them to really say nice things about you, give them whatever you think will create the greatest impact in their lives from their point of view. But if you think something might be bad for them, no, you give somebody a gift of some vacation in some place and they think this is really great. But if they go there and they sin against God, how is that glorifying? The gift becomes a curse. But by consistently doing good works, you will cause men to glorify God, to honor and praise Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse, we read that, emphasized the manner of the work. Good works must be done in such a way that men would glorify God. You are a city on a hill, and your people are watching you. So show good works in your domestic, in your civil, and in your religious setting. In preaching, in hearing the gospel, in praying, in fasting, in helping the poor, in serving the family, in sharing in the church and in the world, in public, in private. So how would you know how to glorify God? Doesn't this mean then that you must know the scriptures in order to do this well? Doesn't this mean that you have to ask God to show you where and how you can do well? And the answers to both of those questions is yes and yes. You need to know the word of God. You need to pray for God to help you in order to do good for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, final point, the limitations of good works. The limitations of good works. And they're not all perfectly related. They're just individual thoughts on some issues. First of all, many people do good works because they think that good works will earn them some saving merit with God. But good works cannot save you from the fires of hell. Good works cannot even help save you from the fires of hell, as the Roman Catholics teach. Where do the scriptures make this abundantly clear? John chapter 14, verse 6. Together, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Not through good works, but through Him alone. And since you can only get eternal life through Christ's life and death, you must not take the credit for your eternal life. And that's the warning the Apostle Paul gave to the church in Ephesus. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 together, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Everything you have received. If there were any saving merits in your good works, you'd be prone to forget that salvation is from the merit of Jesus Christ alone. The truth is, man likes to take the credit for what Christ does. But man shouldn't. The Bible says Jesus is jealous for His worship. He wants people to praise Him and give Him all the glory for what He does in their lives. Oh, He will reward you for your labors. But you remember that even your working is because God is working in you. As we read Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 together. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Even the work you do was prepared by God. He enables you, he gives you the desire, he gives you the skill, and he gives you the work to do. Next, good works are done both in physical things and spiritual things, and in things which may be seen and in things which may be unseen by people around you. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, together, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. So it's true that maybe as children you think about this. Maybe your parents don't know when you help your sister or when you prayed for your sister. But God knows. And God will bless you for your unseen good works. The truth is, you only see a little part of real Christianity. So much of it is quiet, or maybe one-on-one, or maybe when you're in your bed at nights and you're praying. Those little things, those unseen things, are an important part of good works. Don't stop doing them. Don't wait for works that will only give you credit. Remember, like the disciples, they want to be the big leaders, and Jesus said, no, trust me, that's a good work. Serve the little ones who can't talk back. That's good work. And then good works don't come naturally. They need to be taught. Good works need to be learned. Titus chapter 3 verse 14 says, together, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. You know, this goes against all our human sentiments and self-importance, but it is the truth. You need to start training your children early so that they will learn to do really good works. And from the time you start teaching your child to say please and thank you, you're beginning to teach them good works. They need to be learned. They don't come naturally. Naturally, we're selfish. We need to learn. So let's conclude. What are good works? Good works are works to show you are converted. Works that proceed from faith. Works done according to the law of God. And works done for the glory of God. This is the test you're to use before you do anything. If you find that you're doing something because you want people to like you or to think highly about you, that is not a good work. If you do good work simply because you think it is a good work, it isn't a good work. You do good works because God saved you and you want to please him. And yet, by doing good works, God rewards you. You have to include that. You should do it because it's the right thing, but the Lord is pleased to bless you. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, may you, having understood your position in Christ, then fulfill your responsibility and do truly good works with diligence and bring honor and glory to your Savior. And second, may you receive his help by his word and spirit and the mutual encouragement of each other. And it's interesting, you will see this next week in the first sermon, Lord willing, the mutual encouragements of each other to do these good works. You know, this is the only way you'll be able to do good works, depending upon God's word and God's spirit and the mutual encouragement of your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Finally, have you done everything you should to please God? If not, you're under his condemnation and bound for hell. But don't despair. There is hope. Christ can fix that problem for you. If you ask him to take away your sins, to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and make you his child, Then he will enable you to do good works as he has commanded. And may you ask him today. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you for the truth that it contains. Thank you for the direction you've given to us of how we may live now that we are yours, that we will love good works, that we will be equipped to do good works, and that we will do good works. Father, we confess that sometimes when we have done good things, we have done it for the wrong reasons. Sometimes we've done it in the wrong way. What we thought was good work was not a good work at all. Forgive us. And may we look to you and learn to do good. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.